Good morning, I'm Dominic, and I'm glad you're here this morning. Anyone watching the World Cup out of curiosity? Hey, more than I expected. How's it going? It's good, huh? I'm enjoying it. All right, we'll talk later. We're glad you're here this morning, and we're in this series called Revive for the Summer, and we're looking at a particular aspect for these couple weeks on benedictions or blessings. And benedictions, I just kind of think of these as declarations of how God acts, of what God does for people. And this morning, we're going to look at the benediction of peace. Now, I'm going to make an assumption. I have an assumption. I've made an assumption this week about each of you. I know you're grateful for that. Here's my assumption. You can evaluate whether or not it's true for you. I assume that we all want peace, that we all want life to go the way we want it to go. We want hurry to dissipate. We want any kind of divisions that we may have with each other to fall away. I assume that peace is something that we want. But as I think about this topic, and it's obviously a loaded term, as I think about this topic, I think our pursuit of peace is challenging for a couple of reasons, and here's my thoughts on this. I think our pursuit of peace is challenging, for one, that we don't often know how to get peace. I mean, in that sense, peace is kind of like rest, which we're going to talk about later in the summer. We all want rest, but we don't really know how to get it, or maybe better, how to keep it. We want rest that would be somehow in the middle of our life, not something we have to separate from in order to get. I think the same applies to peace. I think part of our challenge in pursuing peace is we know we want it. We at times experience it, but we're not really sure how to kind of incorporate it into the everyday obligations of life. Think about it. Maybe you've, like me, maybe you've taken a vacation at a certain time in your life, and you've said, you know, I'm just going to get out of town for a week, and you've gotten out of town, and you're hoping that getting out of town would kind of encourage you or re-energize you, and it does. And you for that week away, wherever you go, you're like, this is fantastic. And then you come back, and you face the same things that drove you away for the vacation in the first place. And you kind of go, hang on, I got a glimpse of peace. How come it's not able to carry on? I think part of the challenge of pursuing peace is we're not really sure how to get it, or maybe better to say how to keep it. I think the other challenge about peace is we're not really sure how to define it. And for many of us, we might have different definitions. I say the word peace, and you probably have a certain image, maybe even a place, maybe even people that you would want to spend time with, maybe no people you'd want to spend time with that come to mind when I say the word peace. When we talk about peace today, I think of the ancient Jewish term, shalom. And shalom has a myriad of definitions, but it means in part, at least, shalom talks about wholeness, completeness, soundness. It's life as God designed it to be. It's life to the fullest that Jesus talked about. It's as one commentator called, it's prosperity in the widest sense of the word. It's life to the fullest. It's everything being as it should be. So we have these challenges as we face the search for peace. We're often not sure how to get it or keep it, and we're not really sure often what we mean by it or what peace really is or really what we're going after here. But the interesting thing about the benediction that we're going to read today is that I think Paul kind of lays out, Paul's writing to the Thessalonians, if you were here last week, it's the same letter that we looked at last week, just a little bit later in the letter. And he's going to write to them, and he's going to bring out two aspects about peace. And I'm going to go ahead and read the verse now. And the verse goes like this. It's 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 16. It's only one verse this morning. Here it goes. And the verse goes like this. Paul says to these Thessalonians, to this community of Jesus followers, he says, "Now, may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way, and may the Lord be with all of you." Here's what I want you to hear today, and here's where we're going to go. Here's what I hope you hear. I hope you hear as we go through this morning that Jesus offers a way of peace that's better. He offers a way that's of peace that's better than the options that we tend to pursue. Doesn't mean that those options are bad. Sometimes they could be. Sometimes they could be quite dangerous for you. but just means that Jesus' way is better. Jesus begins to connect our story with what God has intended for us. Jesus begins to draw out this shalom kind of peace, as we're going to see in this benediction this morning. Paul's going to pull out two distinctives. He's going to highlight two pieces about the peace that happens in the if you follow and live in the way of Jesus, that could shape our everyday life. That is not something we have to step out of to get. And it's something available to us continually. That's what we're going to see this morning. But before we see what Paul has to say, I want to talk a little bit about peace and how people understood peace back in the first century, back when Paul wrote this letter. He wrote this letter about 50 AD. I want to take us back even a few years before that and talk about peace, and particularly in the ancient Roman world. So these next 5 minutes, if you like history, you'll like these next 5 minutes. If you don't like history, just smile and pretend that you do. So I want to tell you a little bit about peace in the first century. So in the first century, there was a person that the world referred to as Lord and as Son of God, as Savior, and that person was Caesar Augustus. The Romans believed that Caesar Augustus and the Caesars that followed him was divine. In fact, here's an inscription that archaeologists have discovered from around that time. It says, the eternal and immortal nature of everything has bestowed upon mankind the greatest good by bringing Caesar Augustus, savior of the common race of men. For land and sea are at peace, and the cities flourish with good order, concord, and prosperity. They believed that Caesar Augustus had brought peace, had brought the good life, had brought life to the fullest to the world. He had defeated all of Rome's enemies. There was no one left. And they said, we finally have peace. And in 13 BC, just before Jesus shows up on earth, the Senate commissions a monument. And it's called the Altar of Augustan Peace. You'll see a photo of it here on the screen. You can still visit this today, and this is a picture here in Rome. You can visit this monument, this altar here today. And the fascinating thing about the altar is its depictions of peace and its depiction of Augustus's role in peace. So we don't have photos of these things, but on different sides of the monument, you have depictions of peace. You have, for example, the goddess Roma sitting on top of a pile of defeated weapons. You have images of prosperity, like animals eating freely. You have water or wine overflowing. There's even this image on the back wall of the goddess Pax, which was Latin for peace, in between an image for sky and an image for sea. In other words, the prevailing message in those scenes is that peace has come to the entire world. Now, what's also interesting is the depiction of Augustus. On one side of this monument, there is a procession of priests. You'll see the next photo here on the screen. Here's part of that procession. And in this procession of priests, at the very beginning, is kind of cut off at this procession of priests, is the figure of Augustus. And he has a veiled head covering, kind of like the figure there in the middle. And so what's interesting is Augustus isn't with the senators and the aristocrats who are depicted on another place of the monument. He's here with the spiritual leaders. He's here not even with them, but he's also leading them. In other words, if you go visit this monument, you look at this, what the Senate decreed and what the message was to the first century world is, we know who brings peace to the world. Peace has happened, and we know who's brought it. His name's Caesar. The message is that he is the chief priest, the one in the lead, the one who's ushering this entire thing into the world. He is the Lord of peace. That would have been the message that you would have heard, not only the monuments and inscriptions and coins and all sorts of messaging throughout the first century. So it's really interesting when Paul comes around and we read this benediction that we read here to the church just a few decades later in a city that was for 200 years had been a thriving Roman city and still was at the time Paul was there. Paul begins this benediction and says, "Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace." And when Paul uses that term, Lord of Peace, he's not talking about Augustus. He means someone different. He's talking about Jesus. In fact, the original Greek for the original language of this letter, the verse begins with these words, the Lord himself. In fact, the emphasis is on the fact that peace comes from God. It's something that originates with him. It's something that, as one commentator put, he's the dispenser and the fountain of peace. Paul says, hang on, Caesar isn't Lord of peace. That's something that belongs to Jesus. Now watch what he's doing here. This is so interesting, and actually this applies to our life and how we live here today. What Paul's doing when he says this, I think, is that Paul is confronting how the world works. Paul is confronting the systems of his day that said, here's how you get, fill in the blank, and in this context, peace. Paul's saying, that's not the best way. There's some other story going on, a greater story going on. Because to say that Jesus is the Lord of peace, to imply that is to say that Caesar isn't. That there's another way out there that's better. So Paul says that now may the Lord of peace, and for him, Lord is Jesus, may Jesus himself give you peace. And then Paul gives us two descriptions of the type of peace. I think they're descriptions of what makes the way of Jesus better, personally. But Paul gives us two descriptions of the way of peace that happens and available through Jesus. And here, listen to his descriptions. He talks about it first. May Jesus give you peace at all times. The first description, may he give you peace at all times. And this word at all times means continually. It means continued without breaking, an unbroken stream of peace. In other words, Paul's idea and view of God is that God never ceases to offer peace. Isn't that amazing? You and I are, we spend our energies, if you're like me, we spend our time trying to find like this place where we can get peace, and we feel like there's only a little bit amount of peace and there's only a limited amount of time to get it. And so we spend all this energy and time and money to get peace. And here we have a God who never ceases to offer peace. Paul says at all times. He wouldn't say this if he didn't believe God is able to do it. He says, this is who God is. He's a God who is able to give peace at all times, continually, unbroken. Which has immense implications. For one, Paul implies that if anyone is in Jesus, peace is available when you're faithful as well as when you're unfaithful. When you're faithful, God's still faithful. When you're unfaithful, God's still faithful. We hear that from 2 Timothy in the letter there. God never ceases to offer peace. This isn't something available in limited quantities, but fully available, continually available through God. The second distinctive that Paul says about peace in this verse is that he offers peace at all times and in every way. Now, the in every way here, is it could mean how God offers peace, and that's certainly valid. There's another angle on this. In the original language, the in every way could also mean like the turning. It also has this idea of turning. That, in other words, in every circumstance that changes, God still offers peace. In other words, whatever you're facing, whatever may have surprised you this week, whatever may surprise you this week, God still offers peace. He still offers life to the fullest. He still offers a way forward. He still offers and leverages every opportunity for peace. Not only is it continually, but is at all times. To put it another way, changing circumstances do not change God's continual grace. Your changing circumstances do not change God's continual grace. He's constantly leveraging every opportunity for your good and his glory. Paul writes about this in the letter to Romans. And if you're like me, maybe you've heard the verse in Romans chapter 8. Where he says that God works all things out for the good of those who love him. He doesn't say that all things are good. Not all things are. We live in a world that's full of heartache and at times evil. What he says is that God works everything for good. In other words, there's not a circumstance, there's not a situation that God's not at work. And here are the two promises, by the way, just kind of a little side note, but maybe this will help and encourage you. Two promises that I think should just stay with us. There are a lot of promises of God, but here are two that he's constantly doing. One is that we're told God constantly is moving in love towards you. At the end of Romans 8, he says that God will never cease loving you. Here's the other promise: God will never cease to grow you. That's Philippians 1. Romans 8, God will never cease to love you. Philippians 1, God will never cease to grow you. So every circumstance, every situation, wherever you are right now, and I don't say that flippantly, and you might go, well, it's easy to say from where you are, you don't know what's going on in my story. And that's right, I don't. I have my own story. And I'm not trying to pass by your story at all. I'm saying that somehow in the midst of that story, whatever you may be experiencing right now, God is working in that situation. That the offer of peace is still there. It's not somehow like, how do I get out of this so I can finally get and have a conversation with God about peace? No, no, no. I think what Paul's saying here is that right here, right where you are, right in this situation, God could do something. God's available to do something for you because he never ceased to love you and he's never ceasing to work for your growth. So that means no situation could stop him from doing that. Paul talks about a peace that's quite different than what his world offered. It's a peace of God who continually offers, who never ceases to offer peace, and he offers it in the middle of our changing situations. That we don't have to run for something, but right here, right now, God can do something. This is a bit different than we tend to think about peace. If you're like me, we tend to think about peace in the negative form, like how do I get rid of something, the absence of something. Maybe peace means for you a new job or a new relationship or a new house, or you can fill in the blank, that you've got to get rid of something in order to get peace. Here, Paul, and I think the idea of shalom as a whole, talks about peace in a different way, that in the midst of, peace is possible. Somehow the good of God is available to you right in the middle of where you are right now. Now, it doesn't mean maybe times you do have to move, and there are endings to everything. But sometimes, if you're like me, we can just keep looking for the end to get out of this or get out of that, like the next thing and the next thing and the next thing, and you don't realize God's doing a new thing right here and now in you and for you. Peace is available. Paul talks about it in this way. And in this short verse, I think he offers a better way forward. Better way forward than his audience and his day would have heard, and I think a better way forward for us here today. The God is a God who offers peace continually and in every way, in every changing circumstance. God has not and will not change for you. What's interesting is that when Jesus comes along, or before Paul, when Jesus spoke to his first disciples, he talked about peace similarly in the same way. Jesus acknowledged that there were ways that people pursued peace in the world. And in fact, on the eve before he was killed on a Roman cross, by the way, Jesus talks to his closest followers, his disciples, and listen to his words in John chapter 14. He says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you, I do not give to you as the world gives." So Jesus doesn't deny that there are ways for peace. There are options for peace. There are options that you and I can pursue for peace. You can do things today in your pursuit of peace that you could spend a lot of money on, you could spend a lot of time on, there's a lot of energy on, and maybe some of them are good. And maybe some of them aren't necessarily bad or harmful things, but we also know, and maybe we have bring in stories today, that you and I have spent our energies and maybe given ourselves in pursuit of peace that have been harmful. Maybe you've harmed yourself. Maybe you've harmed someone you love. Maybe you've ruined an opportunity that you had. Jesus doesn't deny that there are other avenues. There are options for you. You have a choice. Jesus says, though, that he's got a different way. He says to his first followers, and I think the message still applies today, that that if you live with him and you follow in the way of Jesus, there's a different way forward. He says, this is a different kind of peace. I don't give peace like the world gives. And he says, do not let your hearts be troubled, he says to his disciples, because he was about to be put to death. And what happened when Rome put to death the leader of an insurgent movement like Jesus and his followers? The followers were next. That was their thinking. And so they were getting pretty afraid of what was coming. And Jesus says, but don't let your hearts be troubled. And do not be afraid. The implication there is that the peace he gives could transform them in the midst of their fearful situation. Jesus is offering a better way forward. Paul is pointing to Jesus and saying there's a better way forward. And what they said in the first century still applies here today. You have an option, a better way forward. It's the way of Jesus. Maybe you bring in a story today that peace has been your pursuit. And maybe if we gave you a microphone, you'd stand up and say, peace is something I've been longing for and fighting for and pursuing and wanting and desiring for weeks, for months, maybe for years. If that's you today, I hope you hear that there's a better way with Jesus. Maybe you look at the news, thanks Amy for praying earlier, and whatever your politics are, you know at the base that there's got to be a different way that we live as human beings. There's got to be a way forward, a better way forward. I find it fascinating that Paul says to this collection of Jesus followers, the Lord of peace, not Caesar, not the one that this city, Thessalonica, talked about, not the one that you've heard about for six decades, a different kind of Lord of peace is available. And he himself, remember how the verse starts, he himself will give you peace. It's a peace that happens at all times. It's continual, a continual offer. And in every way, that there's no circumstance that God's not going to leverage for his glory, for your good. There's no circumstance that he's going to cease loving you or he's going to cease growing. God leverages everything for those purposes because he is a God that right where you are, in the situation where you are, can bring change. I know there's a lot more to this conversation, and it's quite honestly a hard topic to talk about because it has quite wide-ranging implications. I realize that. Hopefully you've got some people you can speak with, some friends or family that you'd love to carry on this conversation. I hope you do, about different ways that you pursue peace or what peace looks like in your life. What does peace of Jesus look like in your life? But what I want to do for us collectively this morning is I want to end a little bit differently by spending a few extra minutes in prayer together. And the prayer is not necessarily for me to pray for you as much as for me to give you space. I want to give you space to speak with your Heavenly Father. We live in a world that desperately needs peace. You work in offices, you live in families that desperately need peace. And you and I are in opportunities to bring peace. Maybe you're in opportunities nationally to bring peace or globally to bring peace. But even if you're not, you at least have your sphere of influence where you can bring peace. And we'll give space for God to speak about the places where you need to bring peace. But before we can even do that, it's got to start with us. It's got to start with you. This world doesn't work like it should. Things don't always play out like we'd hope they played out or planned that they'd play out. And at times I think we run from a God who's continually offering peace. We run from him rather than running to him. And so my hope with these next few minutes, I want to guide us through a time of prayer. And I hope that you just get to have a conversation with your Heavenly Father. That you could speak again. this longing and desire for peace. And that maybe through his Holy Spirit, something about you in this moment could change. And or maybe in this next few moments of prayer, maybe you just need to listen. I love what Peter said earlier. It's just like, maybe we just need to stop and listen and not speak. And so maybe you just, in a moment when I start us in prayer, you just kind of quietly say in your heart, God, speak, I'm listening. And you just let him stir your heart and mind. I think peace is available. I think Paul's right. I do believe that. I do believe God is a God who's continually offering peace. It's available no matter the circumstances. But I also believe how he started the verse, that it comes from God himself. I'm not going to be able to tape it together for you. But what I can do for us, what I can do for myself, is lead us to a place where we can speak to our Heavenly Father. So that's what I want to do. I'm going to pray a few words, and I'm going to leave some space, not because I forgot what I was going to say next, but I'm going to leave some space for you, just quietly in your heart, to pray to your Heavenly Father. And you have that conversation. I'll give some prompters along the way. But I want you to have that conversation today. Of ways that you long for peace, to speak that to your Heavenly Father. He's a God of grace. He's a God who continually, in every circumstance, is never ceasing to love you or to grow you. He's continually offering peace in every circumstance. So I want you to have that conversation, and maybe in the midst of that as well, maybe the Holy Spirit will put a person or a place, a situation on your heart where you have an opportunity to help others see that there's a different Lord at work, that there's a different system, a better way forward. If you're not much of a person of prayer, that's absolutely fine, and you can just kind of quietly sit and with your eyes closed, and I still think God would want to speak to you in that. If you're not sure what that looks like, just allow him to. Just ask him to speak. I think he will. But would you get comfortable, and in however best your posture of prayer, let me pray for us and give us space for you to speak quietly to your Heavenly Father and your longing for peace. Let's pray. God, we're people that living in a world that doesn't work like it should, but we know that you've called us to more. We know that you've called us to be a part of something more, to live a life in the way of Jesus. Would we now, God, take a moment and surrender back to you the longing, desire of peace, that you would be the person who fills it. Would you take a moment and just quietly, silently, in your heart and in your minds, ask God to speak, or you speak to him and talk to him about this longing for peace in your own life. Would you take those few moments now? Would you speak any situation that you're in? Would you silently speak that to him and just say that you surrender that to him and ask him to work peace in you in whatever situation you're in right now? Just God to open your eyes to see a new way about his character, that something about who he is and how he acts, something that you haven't seen or thought of much before, that you would leverage that to go to him in your search for peace. Would you next ask your Heavenly Father where in your life, where in your world that he's placed you, in your sphere of influence, have him show you where you can bring peace this week. Lastly, would you ask your Heavenly Father, by the power of His Spirit, to remind you of this, that when life changes, that when peace seems absent, that His Holy Spirit would remind you that He is the Lord of peace. Continually and in every changing circumstance, He offers peace. Would you ask Him to remind you by His Holy Spirit of that? God, thank you for giving us a better way. Thank you that at a moment when the world thought they had discovered who found peace and who brought peace, Jesus came on the scene. Thank you for people like the Apostle Paul and the Thessalonians and others before us who have said there's a better way forward. God, we're living in this day and in this culture, in this particular place in the world that challenges peace, both personally, corporately, culturally. Would you shape us by the power of your Spirit to be different kind of people? Would we be people who bring peace, who say that there's a different way ahead? Would we be people who work in a different way? And parent in a different way, and love in a different way, and serve in a different way, because Jesus is better. And would you start in us, God? Would you start in us, each of us individually? Would you start in us that our hearts would be won by your grace? That you would capture our attention, and that you would bring peace in only the way that you can. Thank you for the gift of Jesus and the life that's available through him, and the different way of peace, a better way.